Revelation chapter 8. Morning. In chapter 8. And we'll start down in verse 7 this morning. Revelation chapter 8, verse 7. The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth, and a third part of trees was burnt up, and all green grass was burnt up. And the second angel sounded, and as it were, a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea. And the third part of the sea became blood, and the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died, and the third part of the ships were destroyed. Verse 10. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood, and a third part of the waters became wormwood. And many men died of the waters, because they were made bitter. And the fourth angel sounded, and a third part of the sun was smitten, and a third part of the moon, and a third part of the stars, so as the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it. And the night likewise. And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, "Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of their voices of the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to sound." Wow. If you can't already tell.
Yeah.
Can't already tell, these last three trumpets are going to be much worse than the first four. In verses 7 through 13, we see that the first four trumpet judgments in these verses are natural, in that they affect the land, the salt water, fresh water, and the heavenly bodies. And we will see in the fifth and sixth judgments that they involve the release of some demonic forces that will torment and then kill. The last of the trumpet judgments will create a crisis among all the nations of the world. As we look in verse 7, we see the first of the seven trumpets sound. Now, if you look back to Genesis in chapter 1, in verses 11 and 12, you would see that the plant life was the very first thing which God created. It was also the very first thing which God will destroy. The first trumpet is sounded, and it is followed by hail and fire mingled with blood. Look there in verse 7. It says, "The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth. And a third part of trees was burnt up, and all green grass was burnt up." If you would, turn with me to Exodus chapter 9. Exodus chapter 9. Remember, I told you last week that some of these trumpet judgments would parallel with Exodus. Excuse me, look in chapter 9. Chapter 9, of Exodus and look down in verse, starting at verse 22. Verse 22, chapter 9 of Exodus. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch forth thine hand toward heaven, that there may be hail in all the land of Egypt, upon man and upon beast, and upon every herb of the field throughout the land of Egypt. And Moses stretched forth his rod toward heaven, and the Lord sent thunder and hail, and the fire ran along upon the ground. And the Lord rained hail upon the land of Egypt. So there was hail, and fire mingled with hail, very grievous, such as there was none like it in all the land of Egypt since it became a nation. And the hail smote throughout all the land of Egypt, all that was in the field, both man and beast. And the hail smote every herb of the field, and brake every tree of the field. Only in the land of Goshen, where the children were, was there no hail. We see here, back in Revelation, in verse 7, there followed hail and fire mingled with blood. And as I said, this parallels the seventh plague that God had sent against Egypt, as we just read in Exodus chapter 9. This hellish hail can be explained in several ways. Several different possible ways. Could be literal, although not ordinary hail. Hail sent down by God as a direct, miraculous judgment, just as we just read in Exodus. I mean, after all, it was burning hail that God had rained down upon Egypt. However, this time we see a little something different. There's one thing different about this hail. This hail is not only worldwide, but it's also mingled with blood. Blood is mingled with this hellish hailstorm. Is this the blood of those stricken by the hail? Or does the sky rain blood on the earth? Maybe it's a gaseous, frozen comet which shatters upon impact with our atmosphere, raining down burning hunks of red chemicals, red chemical ice on the earth. Maybe it's caused by a volcanic explosion where billions of tons of gases are shot into the atmosphere and then frozen in the upper atmosphere and then rained back down to earth. Could it possibly be a nuclear war burning one third of the earth and sending out radiation, which kills more fragile vegetation worldwide? Regardless of the exact cause, the result is death, destroyed cities, countries, and starvation. Loss of crops worldwide is unimaginable. Now, during this judgment, One third of heavy vegetation, and it says all grass is destroyed. And a third part of the trees was burned up, and all green grass was burned up. The prophet Joel promised blood, fire, and smoke in the last days. Blood, fire, and smoke in the last days was promised by Joel. Turn with me to the book of Joel, chapter 2. Joel, chapter 2. Joel, Joel chapter 2, verse 30. And I will shew wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and the terrible day of the Lord come. Can you even begin to imagine? Can you begin to even imagine how this will affect the food supply? The food supply. All the grass is burned up. Now, a lot of our beef, the beef supply is going to suffer. Cows eat grass. Horses eat grass. Can you imagine what this is going to do to the food supply? There's no hay for the cattle. The destruction of all the grass is going to have a profound effect on the meat. What about milk? The meat, the milk industry is going to suffer terribly. Look in verse 8. Revelation chapter 8, verse 8. And the second angel sounded, and as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea. And the third part of the sea became blood. And the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died. And the third part of the ships were destroyed. Second trumpet judgment sounds. Now here we see the desolation of the seas. Salt water. The turning of salt water into blood parallels the very first plague the Egyptians saw. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 7. Exodus chapter 7. Exodus chapter 7. And look in verse 17. Starting in verse 17. Exodus chapter 7, verse 17. Thus saith the Lord, in this thou shalt know that I am the Lord. Behold, I will smite with the rod that is in mine hand upon the waters which are in the river, and they shall be turned to blood. And the fish that is in the river shall die, and the river shall stink, and the Egyptians shall loathe to drink of the water of the river. And the Lord spake unto Moses, say unto Aaron, take thy rod, and stretch out thy hand upon the waters of Egypt, upon the streams, upon their rivers, and upon their ponds, and upon all the pools of water, that they may become blood, and that there may be blood throughout all the land of Egypt, both in vessels of wood and in vessels of stone. And Moses and Aaron did so, as the Lord commanded, and he lifted up the rod and smote the waters that were in the rivers, in the sight of Pharaoh, in the sight of his servants, and all the waters that were in the rivers were turned to blood. And the fish that was in the river died, and the river stank, and the Egyptians could not drink of the water of the river. And there was blood throughout all the land of Egypt. Now John doesn't say here that an actual burning mountain is cast down out of heaven, but that a fiery object is like a great mountain. Now, during this judgment, we will see three things take place. Three things will take place. One third of the seas are turned to blood. One third of the fish are killed. And one third of the ships are wiped out. One third of the rivers. The ocean covers approximately three-fourths of the earth's surface. Three-fourths of the earth's surface. Can you imagine? Can you even imagine the extent of this judgment? A toxic tsunami of blood will cover about one-third of the world's coastal regions. One-third of the world's coastal regions. This would kill millions. Think of the horrible stench of the blood. The horrible stench of the blood alone. And combine that with the smell of tons and tons and tons of fish that will die as a result of this. Dead fish that are washing up on the shores with this blood. I would imagine that diseases would reach epidemic proportions. The food chain itself would begin to break down, as it already has, as we saw with the grass being burned up. The food chain is going to... A lot of people depend on seafood for food. Depend on the seas for food. Can you imagine? Can you even begin to imagine how many millions more would starve because of this? And think about the weather. Where does our rain come from? A lot of our rain comes from the oceans. That's what I'm talking about. A lot of a bunch. And I'm sure that the rivers contribute to this too. A majority of our rain comes from the oceans. You're not going to have water evaporating into the atmosphere to cause the rains. Takes water to grow food. Can you see how this is going to affect the food supply? Not going to affect my food supply.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Thank Him for it. Whew. Thankful to be called a child of God.
Hallelujah.
Amen, brother. Amen. Millions more are going to starve. Millions more. The oceans control our weather, supplying most of our rain. Think about this now. This poison of the sea, if it evaporates into the air, is it going to rain down blood? Poison of the sea spread out over the lands. Would the skies rain down blood? I don't know. It sure gives you something to think about. Now think about this. I did a little research about ships, registered merchant ships. We're talking about big ships, like you go on cruises or that haul all these ocean containers, the shipping containers. that everything goes overseas with and comes from overseas with. Now, as of January 2018, there were 53,732 ocean-going merchant ships registered.
Wow.
Now, one-third of these ships are lost. Can you imagine the shockwave that would hit the shipping industry if 17,910 of these ships are suddenly destroyed? 17,910. It's going to put a big dent in everything. But can they even sail through blood? I don't know. What would it do to the engines? That's crazy. That's crazy. Praise God. Again, I'm not going to be here for it.
Man.
It's estimated that over 500,000 lives would be lost as a result of this. Of these ships, these 17,910 ships being destroyed. How many of them going to be cruise ships? How many folks going to be out on a cruise when all this takes place? I know it won't be me. Over 500,000 lives, boom, like that. And think about this: these half a million people at sea, these ships going down in the sea, or whatever happens to them, I don't know. But think about these 500,000 bodies in the ocean. What's that going to do? What's that going to do? I'd imagine it would even add more stench and pollution to the already stinking seas. I can't even begin to imagine. Whew. Look there in verse 10. Revelation chapter 8. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp. And it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood. And the third part of the waters became wormwood. And many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. The third trumpet judgment sounds, and we see the desolation of fresh water. Desolation of fresh water. This time we see God's wrath reach inland. Now, there's not a parallel with the Exodus here in this judgment, but after the Exodus, Israel encountered bitter waters at Marah. Marah, which means bitter. Moses had to purify the water supply.
Right.
He had to purify the water supply so that they could drink the water. But during the tribulation, there will be no Moses to purify the water.
Right.
There will be no supernatural purification of the water. One third of all fresh water is made to taste bitter like wormwood. Now the National Geographic Society lists about 100 principal rivers in the world, ranging from 4,000 miles long, which is the Amazon River, to the Rio de la Plata, which is 150 miles long. Now, the U.S. Geological Survey reports 30 large rivers right here in the United States. There are 30 large rivers right here in the United States, beginning with the Mississippi, which is 3,710 miles long. One third of all rivers and fountains of water, which springs, fountains of waters, wells, and sources of these rivers become very bitter, so bitterly polluted that drinking their water could, and I imagine will, just as it says in the Bible, produce death. Look here in verse 11. And many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. Now we see a fiery star falling from heaven, burning as it were a lamp. Is it possible this star is molten? And as it nears, it begins to fall apart and disintegrate, falling into various bodies of water. One thing about this is, of course, a divinely controlled judgment by none other than God Himself, just as He sent the judgments down upon Egypt. Is it a meteor? Chemical warfare? Radiation from a nuclear war? I don't know any more than you do. But what I do know is this. This is a divinely controlled judgment.
That's right.
We must not ever limit it by the known laws of science and what man thinks he knows.
That's right.
This is God.
Amen.
This is God.
Amen.
Man's got nothing to do with any of this. These are just possibilities. These things that I'm presenting to you are possibilities. I only know what the book says, what the Bible says. That's all I can tell you is what the Bible says. These are possibilities. I don't know what's going to cause all these judgments or what these judgments... I know what's going to cause them. I know who's going to cause them. But I don't know what they are going to consist of. Maybe that's a better way to put it. I don't know what they're going to consist of. Is it going to be meteors? Is it going to be nuclear war? I don't know. All I know is that earth is going to be burned up. Waters are going to be turned to blood.
Man.
There's going to be a stench like we've never seen before. And like I said, I'm just thankful. I'm ever so thankful. I won't be here for it. Any of it. We must not limit anything God says by any laws of science or what man thinks he knows.
Amen.
Now the word translated wormwood gives us our English word absinthe, which means undrinkable. And it's, I can't help but think about this. I don't know if anybody watch Moonshiners. I love that show. I'm sorry, I love that show. Do what? Before you got saved, you drank moonshine. Is that what you said? You watched the show. I'm saved, and I still watch it. I ain't gonna lie about it. I love it. Them guys are just hilarious sometimes. But here a while back, I think it was last season on the show, there was a father and son that were making their shine, and he wanted to make something different. The boy wanted to make something different. I say boy, he's a man, but he wanted to make something different. So he asked his dad, could he try this absinthe? There's a plant that's actually called absinthe. And I don't know where he got this stuff from, what it was or anything else, but he may try to make this shine out of absinthe. Whew, it was funny. But absinthe means bitter. Okay? So he makes this shine out of absinthe. And he took a little, while it was making, he took him a little taste of it. I always got to sample it to see how good it is. And he took a little taste of this stuff, and he says, "Wow." So his dad says, "Well, let me taste it." So his dad takes a gulp of it, and he spit it out. And it won't long. I mean, it was like, boom, that long. He was throwing up. That's how bad this stuff was. But he ended up refining it a little bit, and it turned out pretty good.
Have you ever been to Europe? Absinthe is actually legal here now, but it used to be. And true absinthe is actually filtered through wormwood, and it's also the stuff that made eggs.
Make me go insane. That's crazy. But I mean, if you would have seen the faces on these two guys, man, I mean, it was funny. It really was. It was just, especially on the son. Now, the father didn't make much of a face. He just spit that mess out. He said, "This is terrible," and he went throwing up. But like I said, the word translated wormwood gives us our English word absinthe, which means undrinkable. Moses warned that idolatry would bring sorrow to Israel, like a root producing wormwood. That's in Deuteronomy 29, verse 18. Solomon warned that immorality might seem pleasant, but in the end, it produces bitterness like wormwood. That's Proverbs 5, verse 4. Now, if the people who drink these waters are in danger of dying, what do you think might happen to the fish and other creatures that are in these waters? Imagine they're going to die too. And I imagine the ecologists are worried about pollution today. I imagine they're going to have a fit when that third trumpet blows. Imagine they're going to have a fit. Look in verse 12. And the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars, so as the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, "Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to sound."
Wow.
Tells me a lot right there, which are yet to sound.
Yeah.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Whew.
Wow.
Fourth angel trumpet sounds. It should be noted here as well that on the fourth day of creation, God created the sun, the moon, and the stars. This is the fourth trumpet. Now this trumpet has an even greater effect on the earth than the first three. The first three affected one third part of the land and waters, but the fourth judgment affects the entire world. The entire world. Why? Well, let's look at it. One third of light from the sun, the moon, and stars is darkened. Can you imagine one third of the sunlight being cut out? One third of the moonlight cut out? One third of the stars going dark? That's a powerful God.
Hallelujah.
That's a powerful God.
Amen.
Don't you ever think he can't do something. Sunlight being dimmed by one third will have a very climatic effect, which will be disastrous for sure. Now, the sun is the source of the earth's light and energy. Even we get energy from the sun. Even humans get energy from the sun. I believe it's called vitamin D. With one third less sunlight, there will be one third less energy to support the life systems of man and nature. Many will freeze to death. A lot of people are going to freeze to death. Now, this judgment parallels the ninth plague in Exodus chapter 10. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 10, if you would. Exodus chapter 10. Preacher got 5 minutes of my time. I'm getting 5 minutes of his time. Exodus chapter 10. Look in verse 21. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand toward heaven, and there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt. And Moses stretched forth his hand toward heaven, and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. They saw not one another, neither rose any from his place for 3 days, but all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. That plague only lasted 3 days. Now, the vast changes in temperatures will affect human health and food growth. Human health and food growth. It is possible, however, that this judgment may be, and I'm not saying it is, I'm saying it may be, only temporary. Now, why would I say that? Because we'll see in the fourth bowl or vial judgment, we'll do just the reverse of this. The sun will be intensified during the fourth bowl or vial judgment. And we'll see this in Revelation 16. Then at the close of tribulation, the sun and the moon will be darkened. Why? Sun and the moon will be darkened at the end of tribulation. What's going to happen at the end of tribulation? Savior's going to return. Savior's going to return at the end of the tribulation. We ain't got there yet. Turn with me to Joel. Joel chapter 2. Joel chapter 2. Should have just had y'all hold those places. Joel chapter 2 and look in verse 1. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. Verse 2. A day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness, as the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people and a strong there hath not been ever the like, neither shall be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. Darkness indeed. Not only will nature suffer loss, but no doubt human nature will take advantage. Think about this. There's going to be more darkness, less light. Human nature will kick in.
Yeah.
And will take advantage of the long darkness, indulging in crime, and other wickedness. Everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. John 3:20. Everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. Now here in verse 13 of Revelation chapter 8, it is at this point a remarkable messenger will appear in the sky. The word angel here, in some translations, is translated eagle. in some versions of the Bible. And in the King James Version here, we see angel. An eagle is sometimes pictured as God's method of judgment. Is it possible this eagle-like creature that we saw, that John saw in Revelation chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, is this that eagle? Is this that creature? The three woes seen here are referring to the three remaining angels who have yet to blow their trumpets. These last three, like I said at the beginning, are going to be worse than the first four. I mean, it's kind of like the messenger here is saying, if you think this is terrible, baby, you ain't seen nothing yet. You ain't seen nothing yet. The worst is yet to come. The phrase here, inhabitants of the earth, is found 12 times in Revelation. It means much more than people who live on the earth. Much more than people who live on the earth. It instead refers to a kind of people, a kind of people. Those who live for the earth and things of the earth. Well, what the preacher calls tree huggers. And I have to agree with him. They live for the earth and things of the earth. They're just the opposite of those who have citizenship up in heaven. At the beginning of human history, heaven and earth were united because our first parents honored God and obeyed His will. Satan tempted them to focus on the things of the earth. The things of the earth. And as a result, they disobeyed God. And ever since, a great gulf has been fixed between heaven and earth. Now this chasm was bridged when the Son of God came down to the earth and died for the sins of the world. Died for the sins of the world. And if you know Him, if you know Him as your Lord and Savior, if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have nothing to fear. But if you don't, you're in for a terrible time. You're in for a terrible time if you're on this earth when the tribulation comes. I pray that if you don't know Him, you'll come to know Him.
Yeah.
Next week, pay attention, ladies. Need your help here. Next week, we're going to have our Sunday school breakfast. If you can bring a covered dish of some kind for breakfast, it would be greatly appreciated. I'm going to take the money that we got for winning, and I'm going to use it to buy stuff, and we'll have that. Probably have a lot of people can't eat this or that. There'll be some fruit, and I'll get some fruit and some other things. A lot of people don't like to eat a heavy breakfast or whatever. But if you ladies can bring some sort of covered dish, or a casserole, whatever, breakfast casserole, whatever you want to do, I don't care, just bring it. We'll eat it. And we'll appreciate it. So that'll be next Sunday morning, and I'm going to try to have the preacher remind everybody on Wednesday if I don't forget to tell him to remind them. Thank you, Rob. Appreciate that. You're not going to be here? Okay. All right. Well, if you're not here, you won't be here either, will you?
I'm not here. I'll text you. I'll remind
you. Yeah, please do. Please do. And I'll even come in and help them with the music if you're not. But let's close with a word of prayer. I thank you all for being here. Appreciate you being here.